Roger Reinsen. You know, in terms of his percentage of winning on the teams that he played for, he's pretty good. If Roger was on Proline, he'd be money. He's money anyway. We're going to talk to him in seconds. You know, we talk very often about sponsorship in the CFL. Some of it's been very, very good. And there are other times where it's been, I don't know, like this.
Who likes football?
We do, we do.
And who likes fantastic hair color with marvelous tones and luxurious sheen?
We do, we do.
Then ready, set, hut, hut, 1, 2, 3. Claire Hall and the CFL are together again.
Oh, stampede me.
With new herbal essences and natural instincts. It's a touchdown every time.
Oski, wee wee.
Claire Hall and the CFL. Give your hair the extra point.
Take me, Don Blair!
Ah! Okay, that was disturbing. And now we go to Roger Reinsen. Morning, Roger.
Oh, you know what? Let me start this off. There was a time when I just, you know what? I wasn't down with your show.
Right.
And actually, with you personally.
But yes.
I'm in my hotel room, and I was just listening to that fantastic CFL new sponsorship deal that apparently is out there.
Yes.
And I tell you, I love it. I listen to your show all the time, and I have to veer off the side of the road sometimes. You do some funny stuff.
So it took a while for you, is what you were saying.
You grew upon me.
Yes.
Yes. It's like the symphony. You know, once you listen to it, it's like, no, not my thing. But then if you actually sit down, and there's some thought that goes into this to your work, I'm giving you some love here, buddy.
Yeah, I appreciate that's good.
Okay.
Because you know, being a football player, you know, you don't like to fight guys, and especially those that played linebacker. Let me ask you this question, because I think this is a very fair question now.
Yeah. Okay.
Could you beat up Stu Laird?
You know what? I went to the Rider game, the last one. And if he was standing right in front of me, I'd still respond the same way. Yes, I could take Stu. Broken down.
You so now I feel like Dana White. So
I don't have a problem calling out old guys. And Stu's one of them, so yeah, I could take
them. Yeah. Oh, there's your halftime show for next game.
Absolutely, throw us out there. You get a hold of Stu, set it up.
I tell you, he's going to be texting and like he'll be probably phoning in. The line's going to lie. I know this is going to happen. Thank you for joining us this morning, because again, we're talking about some very busy people this morning. We just talked to Sandy Annunziata, who's very, very busy as well. Yourself now, you're a policeman.
I am.
And so, what division are you with?
You know what? I work downtown in District 1. I'm currently on parental leave because I have a 5-month baby boy.
Oh, congratulations!
Which counts for the redness of my eyes. Awesome sleep I've been getting. And I've been a police officer in Calgary for about 3 years now. I don't, you know what? There's still, you know, I'm involved in a little bit of media and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone still thinks I'm a firefighter. I don't know where that came from. But I the article, there'll be an article in the paper or this or that, or if I'm at a golf tournament. I'm up in Edmonton right now doing a charity golf tournament, of course, in the media thing. I'm a firefighter, but I am a police officer, so I'm not in the witness protection program or anything like that.
What is the association with McMahon Stadium? So tell folks exactly what the job is.
Well, are you talking specifically about the officers that are strolling around in the stands?
No, I'm saying, are you not? Do we not hear your voice from time to time?
Yeah, it's creepy, isn't it? I'm the guy that won't go away. I mean, my last year was 2005, but it still lingers. I myself and Will Johnson, we did a public service announcement over the Jumbotron. We filmed a little video just to inform fans of numbers to call. If they're ever in the crowd and if the people around them are getting a little too rowdy, a little too festive, which sometimes happens, and kind of informs them who to get a hold of to resolve the situation. And the funny thing is, it's only about, if you've seen it at a game, probably about a 10-second clip. It actually took us about 45 minutes to do, because Will Johnson kept reading my lines. It was classic. Like, I think they should have just put that version in there, you know. But it probably wouldn't have been as informative as before. So,
well, when you look at the career you had, you certainly ended up on the right teams at the right time, and again, we are a UFC guy, which means, you know, the time you have spent at McMahon is sort of unbelievable. Yeah. And then at some point you end up with a very successful Edmonton Eskimo team. And once again, when you look at that kind of success, it does change people, Roger. There are guys who work for a very long time and get literally no success. I mean, it's not a God-given right to win a championship, and I think that's why when we hear stories of a Chris Paul down in New Orleans, their point guard, crying with 2 years left on his contract that he wants to go to a winner. And I think, you know, and what makes a person, you know, sort of all of those building blocks is the ability to work through, you know, the personnel that you have, whether it's a business or sport, and to achieve that level where you can win a championship. And I have to think that when you look at what you've done, you know, you've got to be good to be lucky, lucky to be good. But you look at that career, you've got to feel a little charmed.
You know, like every day, Mike, I walk around and I look at the CFL career that I had, and I appreciate it much more now than when I was actually doing it, because when I was doing it, I just had the mindset, and that was my expectation. If I went through a season, and if my team wasn't in a Grey Cup or in the playoffs, it was an absolute abysmal failure to me. It just that was my mindset, and it seemed like the teams that I played with when we won, that was the mindset of everybody there as well. So, you know what? Yeah, there's luck. I understand that, but it was also when you get a lot of guys who are thinking that same way, it almost just tsunamis itself into a victory. And then, you know, on the same breath, I think of guys like the Milt Stegels that played forever that were phenomenal superstars, and they don't have a ring. And, I mean, where's the justice in that? But, hey, I don't control everything. I just take care of my own business, and it seems to work out. And, every day I just feel so blessed.
Well, it's interesting that, you know, then you become a police officer, but I think what people would have to realize, and why I think there's a connection, because I think as a police officer, I think sometimes we forget about the sort of the mentorship of that job, the role that you probably have in doing what you do, that interaction with community, and sometimes I think it's very relatable to what you learn on the football field, whether it be a game and or practice. So I'm just curious, with the influence that you've had on others, where did that come from? Because you've played for a lot of great coaches.
Yeah, you know what? I could actually take. I think it's work ethic is what you're touching.
Sure, well, it's one of them certainly.
And in high school, and also in I played junior football with the Regina Rams, who are now in the CIS. But I had a lot of great coaches, a lot of great mentors at that stage, guys that played professional and that they also gave back and then coached. And I was also lucky enough growing up in Saskatchewan. Yeah, I got that green blood in me. I used to work out when I was a teenager with guys like Dan Rasevich and Eddie Lowe, like just some hardcore Rough Riders, guys that they just lived and breathed football, and I just saw what they were doing. And not that the Riders were a powerhouse back then, but I just grasped that, and I think it translated into everything that I had in sports. Now with policing, the transfer is it's not that it's a locker room mentality, but it's people that have a common goal, that are working together. Everyone has to take care of their own business, and everyone has to have their skills locked down for things to work correctly. And it's very much like team sports. So it's been a very smooth transition for me. And quite frankly, it has that same, when you're on the football field, at any given moment, something wild can happen. And it's just that adrenaline rush, and on occasion, policing offers that. You know, when we're at a call, a gun call or something, that heart gets pumping, and you have to control those emotions and think straight as you do on the football field. And it's a lot of things are transferable in his career.
And also, I would think, Roger, it's a little complex in that there are things that you do that I'm sure you're very, very proud of. And as you mentioned, there is that adrenaline rush, depending on what that situation is. But for the people listening here this morning, you know, being someone that's ingrained now in Calgary and the fabric of the city, the things that you see, what disappoints you? What are the hard things, if not heartbreaking things, that you see in the city that you would like to see change, that you would like to see differently, because you see it up close more than all of us?
Well, you know what? These are things that it's not specific to Calgary, and it, sometimes just the lack of, how do I word this correctly? The lack of respect for life, almost. There are so many reckless people out there. And something as simple as, if you're out in your vehicle, cruising around, and it's all happened to us, someone may cut us off or something, and then you give them a horn, or, you know, flip them the bird or something. Well, next thing you know, you're getting gunfire back at your car. Now, this is a mindset that, you know, it's not unique to Calgary, but when I show up at a call like that, I just, it's still, you know, you're a police officer, you have to deal with things professionally, but as a human being, I'm still shocked that people react that way. You go to domestic situations, and, you know, there's been a beating or something, and when you're collecting all the information, you're still shocked. Like, I can't believe this just happened. Could you not have discussed this? Could one person have not have left this room and just cooled down before this, you know, escalated into this? So, you know, we're faced with things like that every day, and that's, you know, you need to go home, kind of detoxify yourself, but just there are still calls that you go to that you're like, you know, things could have certainly been dealt with differently, and I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great perspective. I mean, once again, you know, you look at the rings that you would have and the hardware you've won, and a lot of people see sort of the glitz to a world of professional sport, and then there's the reality of it that a lot of times people aren't aware of, and just the sacrifice and the difficulty it takes to be just that good. And then there's the other side, what happens when the jersey's hung up, and for a lot, there's, as I said to Sandy Annunziata, you know, you can work as a beer rep or an insurance company, or here oil and gas, it's certainly someone would love to have someone like yourself on their staff, and yet you choose a path that's not that well walked down, and for reasons that it makes the city better, and it brings you know, character to where we live, and you're one of these guys, Roger, and that's why I think it's great that you joined us here this morning.
You know, Mike, I'm sitting here and I'm looking out my hotel room up on the 22nd floor, cool penthouse suite, and I got one of my Edmonton Eskimo rings here, and I just looked at it, and like it's sick, it's like white gold and it's full of diamonds and stuff, but I don't look at this thing like it's not bling to me. Like, to me, I look at this and this, I think of, you know, the smashed fingers and stuff like that, and the close games, and, you know, all the practice hours. And but some people, when I wear these things, it's, you know, it's not a Mr. T show. It's just this. Yeah, that's what this represents to me. Hard work, nothing else. Like, it's not, you know, it's not showing off. It's not trying to one up somebody else. So I think that's kind of sort of what we're talking about here.
Do you have more rings than Stu Laird?
Of course I do. You know, it, the funny thing is, there are a lot of cats in the league that when I played, that, I mean, there was a lot of hate going on because everywhere I went, I was winning rings. And, I mean, it was the X factor. Like, it got to be funny. It was when free agency rolled around, you know, guys wanted to lock me up because Cy Ransom, yeah, he'll snap the balls, and he's a great guy. He gets along in the locker room, but we want a ring, you know. So, here we go again. Everywhere I went, they just followed me around.
Hey, Roger, you have yourself a great day at the charity event. It's been fantastic having you on the show. Really appreciate it. You keep up the good work, and maybe we'll get a chance to see you sometime.
I'd like that, Mike. Yeah, okay. You too, okay?
Thanks very much. I appreciate
that. Love the show.